Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So she's in there, her dad's office, and she's saying that she doesn't want a job, and you know, but she like also doesn't want to disappoint him or whatever. And then she finds a snow globe, and he goes, and she goes, "Your mother." I mean, he says, "Your mother gave me that in Stade."
Yes.
I'm like, is this really a movie for a Stade reference? I don't think so.
No, I don't even know where that is.
No, I feel like this was improv'd. It's that point where I think Jack Wagner was like, everyone on this set is way out of their depth. I'm just going to do what I want.
Yeah.
I'm going to make the Wagner line better.
It's just like we did it in Stade. Could so, you stop winking at your doctor,
Mr. Wagner,
Jack?
Stop winking, please, Mr. Wagner.
So this town is built on my winks, you little fuck. Roll it again.
I'm Jack motherfucking Wagner.
All I need. So Beauregard, he's like, I can't believe that you still remember your mother. And she's like, of course. I remember her perfume and her hair. And this hotel really reminds me of her. Like, so is this like a hairy scented hotel?
I remember her white rain and her donkey booty, father.
White rain. The weirdest thing that happened next is like, you know, I promised my mother, promised your mother that I would always take care of you. And I'm like, isn't that something you should just do with a child?
Right. Yeah, Jack Wagner's the dad. Jack Wagner's the dad. He's like, gotta babysit my kid.
I was just like, that's such a strange thing to either write and say. you would imagine, like, if you were like a family friend or something like that, you're like, yep, right. When your mama was dying, I promised I would always take care of you. Not your husband.
Yeah.
Not right. Your actual father.
That's not a part of the deal.
Just yeah. That's something you would do. That's that just what.
And you know, and he has done it because Sierra's like, well, you've given me everything I've ever wanted. So don't worry about me. I'll be in very good hands. I'll be with my closeted gay future fiance.
Ted, right. Tad. Yeah. Love
and
Ted.
Then, you know, this is now a Tad moment. So it has to be as terrible in LA as you'd think. So he speeds up in the sports car. He's coming to valet, but he's like, move on the road.
It's like a Gucci edition Maserati. I was like, this is Netflix money happening right here. Okay. Because on Hallmark, it would be like a Yugo or something from 1988.
So like, oh my god, those LA drivers. I think we've made our point, Netflix.
Yeah, we
get
we've it.
Made our point. Okay, so now Lindsay is talking to her assistant, not Matt Marr, and she's like, I think I'm going with Ted. I don't want to be disturbed. Do not disturb me. He's like, have you talked about the snow globe already? We did. Do not disturb me further.
He's like, okay, well, what do you want to do? I just said, don't disturb me. And I went, plot point, got exactly. it. You don't want to be pin disturbed.
In it. You be
we
alone.
Get it.
And yeah, then so she strikes him in the face.
And then actually one of my favorite, this is actually one of my favorite lines in the movie is, because Tad wants to do a photo shoot. He's like really into making their relationship public. He's going to do a photo shoot. And so Terry's like, well, by the way, I reserved a private gondola for you guys. And Tad goes, gondolas are for losers.
Losers. That was almost my name today. Instead of VP of Atmosphere, it was almost Jake, gondolas are for losers. It's my favorite line in the film as well.
Finally, this movie is speaking some truth.
Oh, that's
I know.
Funny.
Finally speaking. And so I wrote this down and I don't remember what happened. I wrote down the word Terry, I think, says he's colorful.
He's colorful.
Oh, because he goes, lady, the surprise awaits. And she's like, I thought we were doing our photo shoot here. And he's like, nope, slopes. We're going to the slopes. And then he just like gives him a little look and he's like, wow, he's colorful. And I guess that was his way of saying like, he's cute and also gay, like me.
He's a big fag. Yeah.
Yeah. And also he's literally colorful. He's wearing like a, he's wearing a black and white Mackenzie's Child's jacket with like ruffles and colors all over him.
When he did say he's colorful, that is when I wrote in my notes, oh my God, I would be Terry.
I rarely see things that you come off the page in. This is definitely one of those.
I literally auditioned for the same role yesterday on the morning show as Gay Baker number one and Gay Baker number two. I'm not even kidding. Same role.
Now they're driving along to a photo shoot and so then Sierra starts to sing along the radio, so she turns the volume.
I love this song.
What a bright time. It's the right time to rock your body.
And she's really singing. She's really doing it. And Lindsay's reminding us she can sing.
Little pitchy, yeah. Sweetie. Little pitchy.
And he starts giving her a note. He's like, in the right way, in the right way.
Which, again, for anyone who's like under 20 will not get the Mean Girls reference. But for the rest of us, that was kind of like, you can tell Lindsay produced this movie. I went, okay, that's a little, is Lindsay's leaning into that she's pretty much old enough at this point.
Everybody will love it. Do you know? And then he turns to Air Supply and I'm like, so is Air Supply coded gay?
No, what was like, really weird was the music he preferred. Yeah, it was like dad rock from another. I think rock. You guys are right that it was written a long time ago, and that's why the writers are from Goosebumps. Yeah. I think it's just something.
It was like, I'm all out of love.
Yeah, my mother loves Air Supply.
I can't believe they're playing this song.
Yeah, but a modern guy who's like, oh, it's all about Instagram and modern. We're on the cusp of now.
There were so many generational things added to this that don't make sense.
Also, the volume button in this Maserati is not convenient. You have to put your finger on it and swirl it around to turn up the volume.
Accurate. That felt like
it feels accurate.
Touch.
Yeah, because that's how fancy cars are. They just like change things to fuck poor people
more
up.
And make
like,
more work than you, more work than it needs to be. But it's fancy, so you feel like it.
You can't steal me because you don't know how to turn me on, stupid!
I would say that actually felt like, I feel like I've seen a car that does that and it was like, drove me nuts.
Mr.
Like,
Beauregard, I don't know how to turn down your car for you!
It's so loud in here, Mr. Beauregard, like you're playing Air Supply.
So, Jake,
trying to bring you dry cleaning!
She's all sad because she has to listen to Air Supply. And then Jake is back getting his frosted tips done.
Back at the lodge. Yes.
And he's helping this young couple get in the sleigh because there's literally two people. No, wait. There's two people. There's two couples. And then there's one family who all they do is hang out outside Lindsay Lohan's window. That's all they do.
And by the way, I also think I just call them eyebrows and another closet gay because this girl had the worst thick like eyebrows. It just looked like caterpillars on top of her forehead.
Eyebrows are going through a weird moment where nobody knows what to do anymore because there was the microblading. That was terrible, but everybody did it. And then at the same time, they're trying to come back with no eyebrows. You know, like the models are shaving their brows.
Yeah. We've had that. We've seen that on 90 Day thing where a girl showed up and I was like,
they were bleached and shaved. It's terrible.
Yeah, it's not good. They're all going Happy for the Whoopi Hanukkah, Goldberg.
But keep your menorahs away from your eyebrows.
Yeah, and then there's the thin, super thin ones. But now they're trying to come back with the ones that people are putting gel in and like combing them up.
That's what she did. And I did not like this.
Yeah, Leave your brows alone.
It's a bad moment for brows.
Summit Springs was not like really the hotbed of eyebrow fashion.
they disappear every 40 years and come back. So,
normally, her boyfriend, bless his heart, apparently just came out of a bunker and he's fucking traumatized by everything in life because he's scared of just a fucking sleigh ride.
Well, I would be too, honestly.
Is this safe?
It's like a janky, it was a janky ass sleigh. And then he goes, oh, don't worry. This sleigh has been in the North Star for generations, which is why that will have no meaning anytime else beyond the scene, and we'll replace it by the end of the movie.
And why would that make me feel better? You've had the vehicle you're about to put me in for 200 years. Sounds great.
He literally just could say it's from Orschlins. It's fine. Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't fucking matter. But whatever.
Yeah, it's a fucking sleigh. Get on. Yeah. You're staying in a bed bug infested place with tile floors in the middle of winter. Don't tell me you're worried about safety
Your feet are freezing. Get on my fucking sleigh.
This is what you're paying for. You get what you're paying for.
Yeah, exactly. So,
so they're flying through the forest on the thing. Meanwhile, yes, let's talk about Tad and Lindsay.
Tad and Lindsay, aka Sierra, they're now like in the middle of nowhere. And he's like, oh, yeah, we're going to do our picture here because like a top influencer geotagged this spot, which
again,
barely makes sense.
It just takes so much to get there. And everything is left to poor Tad to even all the dialogue sounds so stupid.
Yes. She's like, you know, I don't actually ski, don't you? And he goes, well, they don't need to know that. It's all smoke and mirrors, baby. Influences.
Like me.
But man, they're so stupid. They're taking selfies. It's not like they have a photographer there, right? No one's going to see your skis in a selfie, you dumbasses. You don't need to be sliding all over the place. So he's like, do you know how to unhook a snowmobile? And she's like, no, why would I know how to do that? And so she tries, and
someone basically hands me my glass. I don't even touch it. How am I gonna unhook a snowmobile?
Yeah, she just kind of like does this with her hands, and of course it doesn't unhook.
He's like, unhooked now.
Yeah,
I did enjoy when he just talked to the snowmobile like it would be, and she's like, it's not voice activated. I think this scene was completely all improv'd. 100%.
This one felt good. I feel like based on the bloopers at the end of the movie, it looked like
I think this was all yes-anded.
This was a really fun set. I've just got to say that everyone probably felt so protected.
Yes.
From
probably just very protected.
People could make, they could take risks.
They could make choices because it's a safe set.
I'm waiting for the actors studio, the Laura Linney commenting on this. The Laura Linney roundtable of, oh my God. When so they get on tried this... to talk to the snowmobile.
That choice,
the work,
the old one,
the work.
The director really let me do what we needed to do that day.
Plot point, he's like, we don't have any signal on this phone. It's like, oh, here it comes.
They're on a snowmobile to go somewhere, and then they get lost in the snowmobile, and then they're going down a path, and they go by a sign that has snow on it. And as they go by the sign, the snow falls off, and the sign says, danger, do not pass, turn back.
This is cartoonish.
In the middle of nowhere.
By the way,
where was Wile E.
Meant
Coyote?
Nothing. It's not like there was an avalanche. There's not like the actual danger. The danger was, it's just they were on a tall mountain, and she
there were like someplace tall, nothing and a to do with the plot. Happened. Yeah, yes. Like, and by the way, if that girl had not made that wish, she wouldn't have fallen off. They were fine.
Okay. Let's talk about the bat. Meanwhile, girl's going to see creepy veneer Santa.
Lurker, just look at every shot, lurking,
and
it's
she feels
up.
First of all, I thought she was going to sit on his lap, and I went, she's too old for this. But thankfully, she's just right. You write a wish on a tree, and then. grandmother,
you have to keep it a secret.
They didn't talk about it, but grandma is so used to just picking up her other dead children that have been massacred through the years of their hotel. She just picks up her granddaughter, puts her, and they put this ornament on the tree, and then suddenly, we're not in the real world anymore. And
Santa all of a sudden like wants Coke or something because he touches his nose. He's just going like
I'll tell you what this is. This is Ron Oliver magic. This is supernatural stuff coming in.
This is Mary Lou prom night.
This
is some Dateline shit. What's happening here? Okay, we're back at Poor Hotel Festivus or whatever they're doing. And first of all, Santa's a creep, and he's handing out hot nuts. I mean,
yeah,
Santa. Hot nuts. Santa's in charge of the hot.
Hey,
nuts.
Hey, Santa. Yeah.
And then the grandma is like, here's how to do a wish. You write a secret. It has to stay secret.
Tell us your secret.
Put it in this hole. You have to make it count. And then Santa just looks over at grandma like,
count.
Yeah. She's like, make it count. And then Santa's looking at them and he's like, like, what the fuck is this movie? He's like about to like, you know, do something to grandma.
He puts a finger aside of his nose, which is strangest thing ever to do. I get that it's in the poem.
Well, Lindsay was on set that day.
But it's one of the strangest things.
She got triggered and almost relapsed. She had to be taken off set that day, I'm sure.
I mean, literally, like, it was literally like visual cocaineing. It was like he puts a finger here, and all of a sudden, all this like white powder comes flying at us.
It is. And then
snorting a line up the side of her nose.
Air moves things. And y'all know that when wind blows, that means it's magic.
Yeah.
That's right. Magic.
There was more Home Alone chords right now.
Yes, and I went.
Yes. And meanwhile, while this is happening, now Tad and Sierra are up on top of this mountain, and he's decided he wants to propose to her. He's not set up a tripod to capture this moment, by the way.
No. No.
So he's going to propose. So he gives her some shitty ass, like, topaz that's too big for her finger.
It's the ugliest diamond, too. Like, yellow diamond.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those. Machine.
Yeah, it's one of those pea colored fake diamonds. It's really big. Tad doesn't have money. No, he has no money. No, he's scrounging.
Now, this is when, where is it? This is where Lindsay Lohan said maybe one of the best lines in the whole movie that I feel like I felt seen. They're taking pictures and she's in a snow outfit. She said, make me look sporty, but not like I'm sweating. That is what I try to do when I go to Orange Theory. Like, that is what I'm just trying to do in life.
Sporty, not sweaty.
That was a great line.
It never turns out that way. I just look like a big, fat, sweaty pig. But that's fine.
He's like, only one thing missing. Besides a penis. Another thing missing. And he drops to his knees and he's like, Sierra Belmont, the last almost year has been magical. Sierra Belmont, will you marry me? And she's like, this doesn't fit.
It's too big. And I jumped the gun. That's when we have the magic and the Santa. It's going back and forth. It's very confusing. Santa's touching his nose. Ornaments, the ornament actually flies off the tree. It's flying. There's magic. So much is happening. Back to Lindsay. She's sitting there on the
ski. Just doing like this.
He's holding the ring.
Just rubbing his nose.
And suddenly she starts to slide backwards like Poodle does when he's on a king-size bed with too much lube.
Yep.
Just
sometimes you just grab it. You're holding on for dear life.
And Tad, because he's closeted gay, that means he's also very ineffectual, because hence the stereotypes. And
exactly.
So he like grabs her. He grabs her by the ring. And the ring is too big, and she slides out of the ring,
and she slides off.
And then you think, oh no, but then like something horrific happens to Tad, which is the ground just opens up beneath him.
And he's swallowed up.
He's swallowed up by the mountain. And I was like, I actually feel very bad for Tad right now.
This is when we got a B story that still kind of left me breathless of Tad's adventure. And
This was a real film.
But
horrifying.
It was just
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I was like, this is kind of groundbreaking. We don't have this with B stories. There's a richness here.
Now you're Laura Linney.
I know you are Laura Linney.
The movie should not have gone any further because Sierra goes tumbling down this mountain. She's going down and she's like, oh no, oh no. And then she plows headfirst into a tree, Sonny Bono style.
I literally wrote just like Sonny Bono or Natasha Richardson.
Too soon.
And then she and then the other guy goes Natasha plummeting Richardson. Down. And I was like, and they both died.
I would like to note that I'm not laughing at any of that. Anybody who gets mad later.
Someone will.
Was like 25 years ago. I feel like it's okay to do this.
Rafe is in his car. Like, wait, is Liam Neeson or Rafe? Liam Neeson is like, I was trying to listen to something in my car.
Which actually.
And I've never been so disturbed.
Of course, this is going to be the one episode that Sheriff
I'm just going to make Taken 4.
It's actually all coming back because Natasha Richardson played Lindsay Lohan's mom on the remake of The Parent.
Oh my God, wow. You guys. Okay. And anyway, that's the button. We're done with the show. I did like that as Lindsay was going backwards, they let her sing one of her greatest hits.
So I was like, well, these two people are dead. Well, what a tragic end to this movie. Well, that was fun.
But are they dead or are they not?
I want it to be like Lost. Is that the twist? Yeah, like they've been dead this whole time?
And then we see a polar bear. Or
it actually makes sense.
Or Ralph. But yes, I think this is a perfect moment to tease everyone. Will they make it? Will they not? You're just going to have to listen to part 3.
Oh, honey, no. We can just keep going. I'll cut it later. Yeah, we're going to cut way earlier than this.
Okay, great. I didn't know. Okay, I didn't know what you were going to do. I didn't know if we cut out the first
one. I just didn't want to give everyone the opportunity to get up again. So let's keep going.
Raw dog me, Ronnie.
Raw dog me. The next thing we hear is, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way, sung in awful harmony.
I was like, who are these deranged? It's the two people on the sleigh ride. I was like, who are these two deranged people singing their asses off this song? Could you imagine? I would never. If I have like random Cordova Street, I'm like on a sleigh with Cordova Street, just me and this other girl, be like, and jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. I was like, oh,
there's
my
not
God,
a worse
deranged.
Christmas song for me.
That's the there's worst.
Not, there's that not a worse Christmas song.
Although you kind of miss it when you hear the modern Christmas songs because they all just play. Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, but then sing different things over it. I'm like, you guys can't just use the same exact song and put other songs over it. It's the weirdest thing.
I am mad at the Bublé-ification of Christmas music. I feel like for the past
it's a real problem.
Years, we have been assaulted with music that belongs in a crate and barrel. And like we have not had good, new, original Christmas music.
I support this rant.
For the most part, I do think it was a while ago, but I did maybe like what 5 or 6 years ago. I enjoyed some songs from Kelly Clarkson's Christmas album,
like around the Christmas tree. But like,
but it is like few and far between.
It's not the way it was in the '80s.
I loved that Sarah McLachlan, very moody Christmas night, winter solstice,
with the naked ladies.
Yeah, lay on the bearskin rug with your lady. Two ladies though.
Yeah. I listened to Aretha Christmas and Destiny's Child Christmas. Those are my albums.
I listened to Julie Andrews exclusively.
Oh, really?
Nothing but klezmer music.
I do enjoy David Archuleta's Christmas this year. It's very good.
He follows a similar arc as Tad in this movie.
He does. I love David Archuleta.
We saw him in like fucking where was that?
It was in like
saw him fucking disgusting.
I wish.
I'd pay for it.
I bet his asshole is really smooth. It's just like you just slide in. It's like a snow, snowbank. Whoop. We saw him in like in Bakersfield or Temecula.
No, it was like Temecula or something.
And we did a podcast episode because we didn't have time. So we did an episode of the pod on the road, which I enjoyed. Jake was terrified.
No, you were a terrible driver.
We do it all the time. We love that.
See, I know. Podcast. I love it too. He needs to get used to it because when we go on tour in the fall, we're going to be driving. You're just going to have to fucking get used to it.
Yeah.
But Jake at one point was sobbing so hard in the middle, and he turned to me. I think you said something like the God is in that voice or something like that.
At one point, David Archuleta got choked up and could not keep singing.
He talked about being LGBT and all that.
Because it was about, he was singing about how Jesus, how all the people see Jesus differently. And I was like, they do see Jesus differently. And weeping openly around old people.
It old people and other fat gay guys that were there.
That is disgusting.
Anyway, he's great in concert, though, y'all. Go if you can.
No, it was ridiculous.
I watched a snuff film.
Faces of death.
So we go back to this.
Wait, I have to say, I'm so sorry to extend this, but you guys, is Santa Claus trying to murder people in this movie? Because they show Santa Claus doing the nose twirl, and then the wind blows, and then the wind takes up the invitation, and then the grandma's pants fly off, and then... like dark storm clouds move in and throw Lindsay off of the fucking side of the mountain.
Well, maybe what little girl's wish, maybe Abby's little wish was my wish, my Christmas wish, just kill some bitch.
I want to murder a socialite.
Santa's like, well, I can get behind this.
No, so it felt like to make this girl's whatever this wish was to at least murder Tad. I think that was definitely his intention. Whether it was bringing Lindsay Lohan to this town that time forgot, who knows?
Who knows?
But I think Santa did try to murder both of them.
God, I love
Santa.
Santa could be like
there needed to be a villain in this.
Yeah.
Couldn't Santa have just arranged a meet cute instead of like actually causing head injuries?
Like how many people lost their lives this day? That was a big storm, Santa. So thanks.
Huge storm that apparently was only on that mountain, because then down on the ground, Jake is like the sleigh with these two lunatics in the backseat singing.
This better not be a dead body.
Yeah, they see this body. So Jake goes running over and he's like, hey, miss, can you hear me? Like turns her over. So she has a spinal injury. Well, good luck with that.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh no. So then he calls, he's like, ski patrol, get over here, ski patrol. And then we cut to
code three.
Hard cut. To a health clinic? They took her to a health clinic and not the hospital?
No, that's all they... This is the hospital. I think it's just a little small clinic.
There was a sign on the outside that said health clinic.
No, I think this is the hospital. It's like, I mean, if you get sick in Hilton, Oklahoma, you're going to go to the clinic. They don't have a hospital.
If your town comes out of the snow every 30 years, this is what you have.
This is like on Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. The pass is closed because that avalanche, like they can't get anywhere.
If you get sick in my house, you're going to just go where's closest, the backyard, until you're better. Stop bothering me with your complaining.
Well, I'm sick of all these city people and their modern health care.
Exactly.
Where we come from in the country, we got one doctor who knows how to cut toenails, and that's it.
And he knows how to drill a hole in somebody's skull to let out the demons.
That's real medicine.
True.
So Lindsay Lohan has now gone tumbling down an entire mountain and has crashed headfirst into a tree. And they're like, well, she only has a minor concussion. No black eyes or anything. Just a little bit of
just a little veins. Concussion.
Just a little concussion.
And the cop's like, amnesia? Something like
it. He just diagnoses it.
He goes, amnesia? She goes, something like it.
Could
you be more specific? What do you mean something like it? What does that mean?
This doctor is so over it too. Like, she's just tired. She is just tired.
But I like something when Jake goes, but she's awake, so that's good, right? And the nurse goes, depends on your point of view, sir. Because she's been awful. My God, get this bracelet off of me. What am I wearing, cotton? Let me out of here.
I can't remember anything, but I remember I'm rich.
Yeah.
But I can't remember anything. But I remember I like LaCroix. Like,
someone suffocate her with the pillow?
And why is Jake in this hospital room, by the way? This is not a place for him. All their standards and practices in here are just
terrible. Nobody's wearing a COVID mask. This is not real. This is
not
real.
Are you kidding? I know who I am. My name is.
My name is. Are we just going to start doing Eminem right now?
Yeah.
She actually like kind of shady.
There are some moments, and this is one of them, where Lindsay doesn't even try to act. She literally is just saying the lines.
She's saying the lines.
My name is. My name is. And this is what I thought. I wondered, like, how are they going to do this in this movie? And we just, you guys, if you've never been arrested or employed, then nobody can find you. I guess,
especially
that's
if you're in a, town that no one knows where it is.
Got no fingerprints.
Well, by the way, also this, the, can we talk about the stakes of this stupid movie? It's like, it's not like she was off in the middle in a desert island. She was like across town from where she normally
she's
is. Across
town. That's the thing. It seemed like, it seemed like it took 10 minutes to get there.
Yeah, that's what was crazy to me. No one recognizes the most popular hotel heiress. Who's like, one gets it. They're like, we have no idea who this. A rich person. I have no idea where she would even be staying.
You could drive a really broken down sleigh through most of these plot holes. It's really bad.
So they do the whole like, well, all we found was makeup. That's all she was carrying. And
because she's a woman,
that's why she still looks good.
You know, she's just so superficial. You know those women who wear makeup, those harlots.
And then
sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with her ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love.
It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Song Finch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself. Never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, have hope. Keep going, queens.
And the officer is so lazy, he's like, well, I could put her on the missing persons website.
This was,
but it's
amazing.
The holidays. It's no, the holidays.
Should we run her fingerprints? And he goes, yeah, you know, yeah, we could do missing persons, but it's Christmas, so people not want to claim her until after the holiday. What? What kind of family is that? They're like, oh my God, I hope our missing person family member isn't found until Christmas is over.
This Nobody's is gonna not really a package at the UPS store.
LaDonna, she's off this week because her dad died. So, and she does that missing persons thing. So we're just going to have to wait for LaDonna to get back.
All the missing people are just going to have to suck it during Christmas. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the cop's like, well, we have procedures to follow with the Jane Doe, sir. We're not going to follow a single goddamn one of them.
Not a one.
Yeah.
And we're going to release her to your custody, and you could actually be, they know him, but do they really know him? They're just going to take him to the North Star Lodge.
Do know him, because remember the sheriff comes back because didn't he like...
No, like the sheriff like changed the sheriff's tire or some shit
or like circle jerked his son or something like that and they give him money.
And
like,
she really doesn't want to be a Jane Doe. She doesn't want to be a Jane Doe. She's like, I will not be named after carbs. It's like, no, it's not. It's D-O-E.
No. They're like D-O-E.
I'm not a Jane.
And Jane Fonda played my grandmother in some movie, so I do not want to be named Jane.
I really want to make it clear for people that didn't watch this or that are thinking, it's like Overboard. No, it's not. Because in Overboard,
it's just got the
Goldie Hawn did her, and the writers did a really good idea of convincing you that this woman had amnesia, but yet didn't know she was rich. She just kind of had an affinity for things.
Lindsay
Lohan fully knows she's rich.
This is what I don't understand. I'm not sure what amnesia is or something like it is, because is it like a factory reset on your iPhone where you don't have a personality?
Or because it seems like
your battery starts going down really fast all of a sudden because there's a new you out there somewhere that they want you to buy.
That's a good question.
What's confusing is, do you still have your same personality? Because it seems like she has a completely different personality.
Really?
Like, this is like fucking aphasia.
I thought her personality was the same.
Yeah,
but she was the same until like suddenly she decided not to be the same because she was like a brat in the hospital.
Like 15 minutes after she leaves the hospital. It's
like, I think like that raccoon, raccoon that's coming up scares her personality out of her. Cause after that, she's like, I need to start being more humble. It's like a raccoon at the window.
The inability of Lindsay Lohan, and no judgment, I have Botox right now, but the inability of Lindsay Lohan to not move her face to look terrified was, again, one of the funniest things. She kind of screamed, and one eye actually looks like it's going to pop out because the body is having to move in some way to make that expression. Just kind of like,
so Jake decides he's going to abduct her to the North Star Lodge, which is already pretty creepy, I think. And so she's like, with the North Star Lodge, does that have room service? Because I feel like I'm rich. I just get the sense I'm rich. And oh, by the way, she doesn't have she also doesn't have any clothes because they had to cut her out of her clothes. So she only had a minor concussion, but they like, her clothing.
So she obviously has no ID with her, but they can, it's just because they cut her out of her clothes, does that mean they were cut to ribbons?
Sorry, ma'am. There probably was a birth certificate because we found a sliver that said birth certificate, but we put your clothes through a shredder. So
We put your clothes through a shredder because
the demons.
There was a car nearby.
We found a driver's license.
Not to look at it.
Yeah, we had a driver's license, but it's not a real ID, so I don't think it counts.
It's so strange. Like, we had to cut you. this is your frequent sub. This is your punch card for
congratulations on number 9 for your footlong.
Damn, you were so close. We need to find out who you are.
Yeah. Okay, so she's going to have to stay at this hotel, and she doesn't want to. And so the nurse is like, fine, you can stay here. And she gives her food, and it looks really sloppy. And so she's like, I will not stay here. I will go to the hotel. I was like, you think the food's better at the hotel?
No, the food's terrible.
Just wait.
And so then Jake is, she's like, yeah, what kind of breakfast? And Jake is like, maybe she's better here. And the doctor goes, no. I mean,
we don't want her here.
please get this bitch out of my nice clinic. We're having a cocktail party tomorrow.
That fuck Hippocratic that oath. Get this hoe out of my hospital.
That oath is working really well for
fuck
this doctor.
That oath.
Get her out of this hospital.
So Tad, go back to Tad, which I'm glad that they didn't kill off Tad. That would have been too easy. So
this is the story we all needed.
This is the story we all wanted. We wanted Snowback Mountain.
The thing, and that's why it became the story we didn't want, because I was like, this is your gay storyline, and I cannot believe they didn't do it, because it really seemed like they were doing that, right?
This is the gay storyline. You're with Ralph.
You're with Ralph. You don't care about I know from every movie I ever play, I die alone at the end. That's what my character does.
Yeah, me too. So
that's
this
what gay
is
people do.
But this is the sequel where now it's like Tad jetting off with the assistant, and they think they're going to be all happy, but then all he can think about is the guy with the beans.
Ralph. You know what? I want to see this movie, and then he goes back to see him. Yes. This is the movie I need.
I want to see Wreck-It Ralph.
He finds a bean can in the closet and hugs it.
Just a can of
can on a hanger.
Just a lovely can of pork and beans.
Wreck-It Ralph.
Nuzzles it. Smells it.
Wreck-It Ralph.
So Tad's wandering around.
Coming this Christmas to Raging Stallion Studios.
Wreck-It Ralph.
Wreck-It Ralph.
What's it like? Oh, I'll show you, big boy.
So Tad just wandering around through the snow, and he's like leaving his last will and testament on his phone. But he's like, what sort of forest doesn't have a cell tower? And then his phone dies. So
phone
he just
dies.
Sort of trudges along. And in my mind, I'm like, why are we watching him in the forest? Okay, well, whatever.
He's so pretty. I don't care.
And I love his video. He's like, I have survived a death-defying fall. Yes. If someone finds my phone, please post this.
You know that he was trying to be, I think his inspiration for this character was actually not a game. I think it was Emily Blunt in The Devil Wears Prada. Like, that's what he wanted to be.
There's lots of Devil Wears Prada-ish feel to this movie. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's that's go what to they the think rich hotel. People is. So Lindsay, I was like, who's Lindsay? It's the main character. It's Lindsay. It's only
Sierra. Sierra. Also, yeah, whatever.
We'll get to that.
That doesn't jog anything. Hi, your name. Your name is Math. Math.
I like that.
I think we should call you Tierra. Is that all right? God, I wish I could remember my name.
So, I want to call you Sarah, but you have an H at the end.
Yes. Not, Sarah.
I feel that H. It's not bringing me anything.
Yeah.
Sierra.
So she's at the hotel, and she's just staring at a cuckoo clock like, what? Where the fuck am I?
Yes.
You know, which I think we all do. I still wonder, like, who did that? Why would they do that?
Cuckoo clock is pretty much otherworldly.
Yeah.
Strange thing.
I just can't believe that the North Star Lodge isn't getting more people. Maybe maybe they should look into upgrading to digital, and maybe that will attract more customers to the place.
Or also not have jolting noises coming out during your like peaceful time at a vacation, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like Christmassy, but not that Christmassy for a Hallmark-ish movie. You know, it's like a tree. There's a tree. And then the little girl is looking down from the upstairs and hiding. And she's like, oh, my God, my new mom's here. You know, immediately this girl is like too needy.
Can I call you mom? Can I call you mom? Yeah.
So Jake brings out a pile of clothing from the lost and found. And how is this stuff not claimed by the people? It's a tiny little place. Like, I lost my.
Well,
my
but if you
parka.
Were there, if you were, you know, if you. I mean, if we left something in Branson, we weren't driving back to Missouri. It was going to stay in Branson.
Well, also, yeah, can you fit dignity in a box?
Amen. Amen.
So he's like, these aren't your clothes, but they're better than scrubs. I'm like, are they?
No, they're not.
Are you giving those? You know, what did Santa do to this?
She was wearing those. Looked like fucking figs. That looked nice.
They were nice scrubs.
I wear that shit to podcast in. I'm wearing sweatpants now.
Listen, he takes all of his fashion advice from TLC, the band.
Left eye.
So then, whatever. So she gets on the clothes, and then the grandma's like, here is fresh sheets and towels. Which,
as opposed to the ones that have been on the bed for about 3 years now.
Well, he doesn't give her used clothes. So.
Here's my son's 10-year-old cum rag that he hasn't cleaned since my daughter died.
Here's a crusty sock.
There you go.
Don't worry. These sheets are very clean. We've been cleaning them in our 1992 Whirlpool washing machine. later this movie.
So she goes to her room and hears scratching at the door, and I'm like, Santa's got his dick out. You know he does. And so she opens the because she's trying to find a remote control for the curtains, but there isn't one.
I've never been in a place with a remote control curtains. I wouldn't know what to do.
It's you have. You just press the button.
I don't think I have. That's fancy.
It's
literally just like one button.
I know.
You just press it.
Okay.
But anyway, so she opens up the curtain, and there's like a little raccoon at the window. A rabid raccoon, by the way, I'd like to
animatronic.
Mention.
Again, the producer said, listen, Larry, if we don't have an animal that scares somebody, nobody's going to watch.
Yeah.
Got it, Mr. Beauregard.
Rich girls need to be taken down a peg by an animal.
This was the most expensive thing in the movie.
Nothing takes down a vegan like a raccoon.
Like a raccoon.
Because who's she saving anyway? They're all rabid. So.
She's going to want to eat an animal after this one, kids.
So she freaks out. She falls over on the Lazy Boy, which already, why is there a Lazy Boy in a hotel room? I don't know.
Yeah.
She falls over it. It's a nice bit of physical comedy. Now, here's where I have a problem. Jake comes storming into the room to save her. I'm like, you don't just go into a guest bedroom, sir, when you're the... This is why no one's going to the North Star.
Yeah.
Throws open the door.
There's holes in the wall at the North Star.
Yeah, and there's like eyes that went...
I know.
Then we hear a toilet flush and the grandma comes out of her bathroom. Like, is something going on out here or something?
I cleaned the toilet.
So she's like, in the wilderness, you might have some visitors. Like me, for example.
Yeah. Here I am in your room. And she's wearing this like green plaid heavy.
Oh, it's truly awful.
And he goes, nice granny gown. Sir, you're the one who gave it to her.
Yeah.
So it's time for bed. And then we go to Tad struggling in the forest. Oh. And an owl sees him and he's just looking at the owl like, old person, what are you looking at? What's your Pinterest? What's your Pinterest?
What's your
Pinterest? There's like a cabin in the distance and there's like lightning in the sky for some reason. It's supposed to be scary.
It's like really
house.
It's a, you know, it's hard to have a, like a lightning snowstorm, but it is. And he walks up to this cabin and then this is not realistic because he butts through the cabin door. A guy would have immediately taken out of A45 and shot the fuck out of him. Tad, he would be dead.
Ralph had a gun.
Tad is dead. Yeah.
We're exactly. Both from gun places. You don't just do that to a chef. But also he swings open the door and he goes, sanctuary!
Sanctuary! God, I love Tad. I love this character. We need this spinoff.
The guy's got a hole cut in the ice because he's ice fishing or whatever. So he doesn't have his gun in his hand. So he throws a fish at his head, you know.
But the fish is like a box of like fishing lures and bait and everything. Like
fishing he's got a lure in his face.
This is where it begins, yes.
Yeah, because then he's like, so Cole, do you have a cell phone? And then, of course, Ralph is like, I don't have a cell phone because I don't trust them.
I don't trust the government.
Yeah, I don't trust them. I'm not going to any pizza parlor in D.C. either, let me tell you that.
What date is it? January 5th? Great.
Great.
Oh, shoot, I'm supposed to be catching a plane.
I'm late.
Right now.
I'm late.
Hey, grab me that buffalo headdress, then we're getting out of here.
You don't have a charger here for the Model 15, do you?
Yeah.
So Ralph's like, can I get that lure out of your face?
What lure?
The one stuck on your face?
I have something on my face. If you would have changed the music, to like In the Arms of an Angel, it would have been a different movie.
It would have
because Ralph is adorable, right?
I know.
Is that something just like being our age where we can see people? Because these are made for like younger people, right? Where they look at it and they're like, oh my God, it's someone old and with a beard.
It's someone old and with a beard and like gross.
And I'm at the age where I'm like, oh my God, what a cute little daddy bear. What he probably makes pancakes.
What a cute person. And he's also caring and he's like taking on someone who's self-sufficient. Obviously gay.
He didn't ask for any pronouns, though.
No, he didn't. The thing is that
I will say, by the way, are we just like glossing over this like gruesome fact that they show that there is like a lure that has like pierced Tad's face and like one end of the hook is coming out from like his eyebrow? Yeah. It's like,
it's just awful.
It looked just like Jake's eyebrow ring that he got when he was like 25.
It was a visual metaphor because now Tad's reality has been pierced and
yes.
Now he's start coming out.
Oh, girl. So then we go up to Lindsay. She's waking up with a sock as her mask. Hopefully not the crusty one that they gave her.
I just have to say, though, proving the 80s point, though, too. All gay, effeminate men, when freaked out, fainted in 80s movies. And again, he faints.
Oh, he fainted. You're right. Thank you.
So I just want to bring up the rep. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that was very important. I left that out. And he didn't just faint. He was like, oh!
Because we're from the city and we don't know hard work. And when faced with tough realities, we just have to faint.
Yeah, just faint. Our systems are very, very weak compared to
weak constitutions.
Yeah, so Lindsay wakes up with a crusty sock on her face. And then she's like, oh, thank God, it was just a dream. And she's looking around for...
Why do I smell cum?
Yeah, she finds, why is my eye burned?
What smells like bleach?
So she... She finds her remote on the table and she presses the button and Netflix turns on.
And Netflix is playing Christmas in a Castle, which is produced by the same company as this movie.
Pieces of shit.
So she's like, oh my God, what's wrong with this thing? And she gets up and she just like pushes out her arms, like and puts them back.
And they're like, he tries to stretch again.
The director is, walls are closing, Lindsay.
By the way, how shitty that this guy put her on a first floor room. I mean, for crying out loud.
He gave her the worst room.
Well,
none
she
of the
is
rooms
staying for free. I wouldn't give the nicest room.
I think it's probably just one story, this place.
No, yeah, they have stairs. Because remember, the little girl was hiding on the, but probably not an elevator. So, you know what? Yeah. I'm with him.
I don't think it's ADA compliant. No. You can't roll a wheelchair on those fucking tile floors. You just.
So, this is where she throws open the curtains and there's a family standing outside of her window and they're like, hi.
That is Jake's nightmare, actually, on a vacation. Yeah,
like just, or just. People in general, when I'm up, when I wake up in the mornings,
yeah,
get the fuck away from me.
Yeah. And she's like, oh my God, it's not a dream. And she looks in the mirror and she's in that stupid flannel nightgown. She's like, who are you?
And then the door.
Really good, Lindsay, Ronnie.
The door is flung open and this Abby walks in. I'm like, what the? This is why people don't stay here. Your door is so locked. Yeah,
your little girl has no boundaries.
None.
This is literally a guest room, okay? This is a one-star Yelp review for me.
You know somebody's written that review. Like, I got cum in my eye from the sleep mask they gave me. And
there was this strange little girl just walked in my room in the morning and asked me if I would be her new mother.
Pretty much.
Actually, what Abby does is she walks in and goes, your room is a mess. Well, guess what? You're on housekeeping, little girl. Get to it.
Your room is, well, your mom's dead. Chop, chop. Mommy ain't coming back.
Just coming in hard on Abby. Little Abby.
The cutest little girl in the world. We're like, fuck you, make an effort.
Shut up and listen to the white man. Let's go.
Abby or Avi?
Oh, I said Abby. So she's like in a little unicorn hat or whatever. And Lindsay's like, no one's come to clean my room yet.
Children are so presumptuous in these movies.
Oh, I looked it up. It is Avi, A-V-Y.
Yeah, no, I thought Abby. In my subtitles, I thought I saw it. Yeah.
It's like a video format that no one can play on their Macs.
Exactly, AVI. Yeah.
So there's no maid service, I guess. And she's like, you're the lady who doesn't remember who she is. My dad told me. She's like, who's your dad, honey? She's like, the guy with the bad highlights.
The guy who looks nothing like me.
Yeah. I know everything in this hotel.
And so then Sierra's like, well, hey, do you have a hairdryer? And so she's like, of course, in my room. So you would think, okay, so Avi's going to go to her room and bring her a hairdryer. No, Lindsay has to go to Avi's room. What sort of service is in this hotel?
It's extremely.
She has to go to the child's room?
Also, I'm amazed that this little girl just has this hairdryer that she's just like sitting there drying her own hair constantly. Doing
blowouts
but later on.
Every day.
She cannot comb her own hair.
And she doesn't dry her hair. There's not a diffuser inside.
No.
Curly hair. You're not drying that. And
also,
Lindsay
Abby
Lohan
has like a king. She has a king-size mattress. And Lindsay Lohan is stuck on a twin.
It's on a twin. And after Lindsay dries her hair, I mean, I have a little bit longer hair now. And sometimes I have to dry my hair. With all those fucking hair extensions she had, she would be. Have y'all ever been around a woman who just spent an hour drying her long hair? She would be so hot and in the worst mood. And she's like perfect makeup, perfect everything, in a sweater.
What do you want? This is a Christmas movie. You guys want the most depressing Christmas movie.
I need
I've
realism.
Ever heard in my life.
No, what I'm saying
you're
is.
Like, I want Lindsay to wake up with a bloody nose and like
you're not gonna get it.
Clumps of hair missing from her head. You know?
Here's what I want. Listen, if you want me to care about this shitty ass hotel, at least make it seem like a hotel that's worth saving. But as far as I can tell, they have no maid service.
None.
The staff walks in on you, and then if you need something, you have to go to the staff's room to get it.
You go get it yourself, Ben.
Yeah.
Don't like it.
That's why you're broke.
That is.
Yeah. This story needs to be like the daughter of a construction company that doesn't have the heart to do what it needs to do and just knock a crane into this building. But then she finds love and learns that through love, she has the strength to demolish this fucking building. And you just see Abby running there, you know, with like a little unicorn thing on its head. And then the guy could come out of the shed and throw a fish tackle at it. Like, got it.
Got it.
Okay. So she's like, she says, so what? What's your name, Lindsay? And she's like, I don't know. She says, well, I have a lot of stuffed animals. You can have the name of one of my stuffed animals. There's Frankie, Wallace, Potter, Demetria, Harlow, and Sarah. And she's like, Sarah? Sarah? Sarah Plain and Venti? Because that rings a bell.
Plain and Venti?
Sarah's perfect.
Sarah's perfect.
And then
Sarah
and then,
sounds like nothing I've ever known in my whole life. Yeah.
This is not triggering me any memories whatsoever.
At all. Yeah. Can't remember anything.
Give me that snow globe. Wait, nothing either.
Hey, is that a picture? Is that a DVD of Melrose Place? Hey, look at that guy on there. He reminds me of someone.
Somebody.
So she sees a picture and she's like, wow, donkey booty. Is this your mom? And Avi's like, yeah, she died. She was trampled by a unicorn. You know, sometimes.
That's why I wear earmuffs inside.
That's why I wear a unicorn to remind myself of the way she died every day. Every day.
I think Abby did something to her mom because she does not give a fuck. She's like, my mom's dead. She was trampled.
Daddy says she got sick, but I know better.
I know better.
She got sick from the Dawn soap I slowly put into her cereal.
It was childbirth, and it was my fault. Exactly.
I miss her a lot. Sometimes, you'll think this is weird. And Sarah's, well, I don't know who I am. Nothing's weirder than that. All I know is that when I breathe through my nose, a song comes out.
And Abby's like, well, this is weird, but sometimes I threaten her picture. And she's like, oh.
Threaten? Now, Ronnie, you're taking this into a different movie.
I think Abby had something to do with it. I'm just saying, I've watched a lot of movies, a lot of murder movies.
You have.
Sometimes I talk to her and I say spells.
Sarah's like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's beautiful. Here, let me sing about it. Oh, I'm sorry, you're a little pitchy. Let's just keep it on me and my mom.
It's full on like a New York cab driver by now.
Yeah.
Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan just passes by. I'm all out of love. I don't wonder about you.
There's something about that song.
Oh, so Lord.
They go to the lobby and they see the couple from the sleigh and the girl from the sleigh eyebrows. Oh, my God. These eyebrows.
Yeah, sorry. And her gay husband.
She goes, hey, how are you doing? And she's like, do you know me?
Who are you? Yeah. What the fuck, people? Hey!
She goes, we met on the sleigh ride. And then the other guy goes, yeah, I mean, you were unconscious the entire time. Well, anyway, enjoy breakfast. I'm like, you people are literally insane. You were talking to what could have been a dead corpse and acting like you became friends.
The next thing she says, this completely threw me. She says, I'm capable. There's like, do you want some breakfast? She's like, I'm capable of making my own breakfast.
How? How do you know
when?
That?
When?
So you know you're rich, but yet you've never made your own breakfast.
I think
this is time for improvisational physical comedy from Lindsay Lohan.
I hope so.
Terrifying. Terrifying physical comedy because also, she has. Sorry,
no,
Ronnie.
No, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. No, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'm sorry.
I just totally went, oh, and why is he making breakfast? You don't have someone to make breakfast at a bed and breakfast?
That's true. They don't have anybody to make breakfast at the bed and breakfast.
Like, I didn't care what was happening.
They have no kitchen. So this I thought was supposed to be funny, but I thought it was actually terrifying. So Sierra, she gets around, so she's trying to use the hot plate. So she's shaking it up and down, which is scary because it's probably hot because they were just baking so many pumpkin pancakes that they ran out.
Yeah.
So then she's like, no, this is how you use it, you dumb little lady. You press the on button. She's like, oh, okay. And then she's like, has to pour some oil. So she pours the oil and the top comes off. Because, and we're supposed to be like, oh, she's so stupid. But like, who the fuck left the top like that with the olive oil, right?
Exactly.
And there's like an open flame right there. They set her flame. Up to fail.
She has now poured a cup of oil into the skillet. And they're like, okay, now crack the eggs, you maniac. So she takes the eggs and she goes, oh, boom, boom. Into the hot oil, which splatters everywhere. I was like, how is no one getting third-degree burns?
I was scream laughing this whole time.
And we're supposed to wonder how the mom died? I'm telling you, this family set this mother up to die. I'm telling you.
I just, this was to me, this is a classic thing, like, oh, people from the city, people who like careers, people who come from out there, they're so dumb, they don't even know how to crack an egg. I mean, she literally cracked it like an orangutan.
She just slammed it down on the plane. Vegans don't eat eggs.
Vegans That's don't true. Eat eggs. How would oh, they know? Right.
Well, they have before. No one's born vegan. You know, you see people crack an egg. It's not like a confusing thing, Lindsay. Of course, Lindsay might not actually know how to crack an egg.
No,
I mean, there's one person I would believe.
Again, in the next breath, she says, they basically say, do you want bacon? I don't do bacon.
Yeah, no. She knows she can make breakfast. She doesn't do bacon. She knows how to crack it. I'm with Jake on this. We need to have an amnesia expert on this show because I'm confused.
I'm so confused by the nature of amnesia.
Yeah.
I
watched a lot of soaps and I still don't remember. I still can't figure it out.
Avi, who I'm worried about her future because she's like, have you tried it? Then how do you don't know you don't do it? You should eat it. Just try it. The first one's free.
Y'all,
religious reasons.
Be chasing that high.
Abby's going to do Molly in college a lot.
Do you like chasing dragons?
Wait, so what do you mean you don't like your religion doesn't go against it? Sounds like you're a heathen.
Hey, Cordova Street, where's your daughter? Acid. She's dead.
So Lindsay eats the bacon and she's like, oh my God, I like bacon. Wow.
Because people that like bacon are good people.
Yeah. Now the audience was like, I'm we're learning. On her side now.
It was a transformative slice. That was a real turning of the corner for her.
It was.
Switch the channel to One America News.
Alejandra. Meanwhile, Alejandra's like, oh, I don't think that she's from around here. And Jake goes, there's something about her. I think I've met her before. It's like, you know what?
Why are you looking at me that way?
Because she's actually from just 8 blocks west. That's actually where she's from.
Meanwhile, people are sitting there eating their meals. Alejandra's just sitting there watching this whole fiasco happen. Put yourself to work. Help out a little bit, Alejandra.
And by the way, Frosted Tips has been following her father for years and trying to get businesses, and I would presume Googling all of the facts about this man and his hotel. And
going to what Jake said, if she was famous, is she famous or not? We don't know.
This should have been like Overboard, where he does find out she's rich but decides to keep her anyway, right? Isn't that like a plot?
That is a plot point. Yeah, because she's terrible to him, and he makes that wonderful shoe closet, and Goldie Hawn doesn't pay him for the shoe closet because she didn't like that it was made out of pure and walnut. And so that's why he wants to do it for her, to work off what she owes him for the closet.
But that movie actually has, you understand, because people have motivations to do things, regardless if they're good or bad, they're motivated.
Also, I want to say something that we just need to talk about right now.
Okay.
Also, Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn have chemistry, whereas Cord Overstreet and Lindsay Lohan have none.
Yeah,
none.
That's true. It's staggering.
Like, that's not Lindsay's fault. I feel like Lindsay's really trying her best here.
I blame Cord.
He has nothing.
He doesn't have it to give.
Has he not done several of these Hallmark movies?
I don't know.
You know, I'm not familiar with his filmography.
I mean, how can you not? Your name is his Cord Oubra? Overstreet. You know, you've got to have done some of this shit. He'll be on the Candace Cameron Network, I can guarantee.
Yeah, he will.
So, Terry and Security.
I got into a fight on Instagram with somebody about that.
Oh really?
I blocked them.
That's so crazy. Yeah. So, I know, but it's like telling Hallmark fans to fuck off. It's just so funny, you know? Because it's like the sweetest grandmas in the world. It's like, oh, suck a dick, Deborah.
You're right, though. He was in... I'm looking.
I mean, those highlights came from somewhere.
I think he's done several of them.
He's been in, you know what? He hasn't been in a ton.
No, he was in Glee and he didn't work after that.
Cord Overstreet needs this, y'all. He needs this. He is in a new series called Acapulco.
That's a cute one. People love that show, so good for him.
He's like in 18 episodes of that, so good for him.
Yeah, people love that show.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.